This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
So I am hosting the Big Shorts basketball game to attract Adam Sandler to play basketball with me. We're playing basketball. I pitch him on my movie, 18 Even Crazier Nights.
Sorry. This was successful. You did lure the Sandman into your basketball tournament with this method, or you were intending to pitch him the movie when he showed up.
I'm in the process of certainly of in the story. I'm in the process of putting together the game, Big
what
Shorts
you,
basketball game.
What
and
you
first
said
I have
was,
to find some Big Shorts.
What you said was,
I'm hosting.
You said I'm hosting, and then you said, I pitch him.
That's my plan for what to do in the game. At this point in the story,
you didn't
I'm
say I
was.
You didn't say you were planning to pitch him. And can I tell you what I think is a crucial flaw in the plan? Adam wants to have the biggest shorts on the court.
So thank you so much for, I mean, kind of blows the end of my story, but I...
Adam's like, not going to come to a game where other people have big shorts.
I said, first I'm going to have to get some huge shorts. My plan was like, if I can find the biggest shorts, then Adam will have to come. If I build the shorts, he will come. I find shorts from the Macy Day Parade, for the float from the Toy Story Pig when he was in his own movie called Pool Pig, and he's wearing swimming shorts.
Those shorts? No, those are trunks.
Okay, so again, skipping to the other story, this was another issue. But I get these shorts. They're huge. The basketball court has become basketball short. That's how big these shorts are.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows up, and he's like, these shorts, like, I kind of like having the biggest shorts, and those aren't even shorts.
Okay.
Those are trunks.
And that really takes the wind out of your sails in terms of pitching 18 Even Crazier Nights.
Yeah.
We have a guest here who makes movies, not unlike the Sandman.
And Natalie.
She just
like,
made her own movie coming out tomorrow. Can we get a taste of possibly what the movie would be? And maybe an even more powerful producer than the Sandman, we have Natalie Morales. Say hello, Natalie.
Oh my God. Hello. Those are pretty big shorts to fill. So thank you. Guys, I've missed you.
Gadoosh.
I really did.
Right?
I missed
Fatality.
You so much.
Hey, we could feel it.
Yeah.
I woke up in a cold sweat. I said, Kevin, text Natalie.
Is it because of all the incessant tweets you were getting, begging for me to be back on the show? Is that why?
You get those tweets.
No, I see you're also added on those tweets. They're replies to you as well.
Well, then can I say this, Natalie? And would you do me this kindness? We get those tweets.
That's true. Mm. We do get those tweets. All
that's a communal experience. That's us. Yeah. That's our
it's
family
great.
Dinner
I'm
table.
I'm happy to be here. I do what, you know, what my public wants. So I'm here.
Publicist. You didn't finish the word.
No, just the public.
Our public.
My public. People still say that, right?
Mm-hmm. Natalie.
Yes, Hayes?
My public.
Last time you did the show, you told a story about cum.
I did?
The famous cum story. That may not have been. Was that the last time or was that the time before?
Oh.
Two times ago.
You mean I'm coming on you.
Two times ago.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm coming on you. Yes,
told
yes, yes.
the
yes.
famous... Famous story. Caruso
I feel like
cum
it's not
story.
A story about cum, you guys. I feel like it's a story about David Caruso not quite knowing what he was saying. Let's just be clear.
Okay, it's the one word. It's the one irreplaceable word in the story.
Anya, I would say.
Mm.
That's a name you can't
I
change.
Can replace that.
Yeah. Proper noun?
What if you replaced it with everywhere?
Yeah.
What if her name was everywhere?
What if her name was in my jeans? You know what I mean? You got to think about that.
I don't know what you mean. No.
If the character's name was in my jeans.
Oh. You then don't, when David you mean, ran you mean in, somebody is. I thought you meant the character's name was in your jeans, like sewn on or written on your jeans. But you're saying the character's name is in my jeans.
If I was cast as the character in my jeans, I would have a signature pair of jeans where my name was sewn onto the back pocket.
Right. Okay, I understand now.
Just for me to inform my character.
I understand. But you're saying that David Caruso could have walked in and said, "I'm coming in my jeans."
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Then we got to talk to wardrobe.
Then you came on the show again to apologize for telling what had been an exclusive story for our show on Seth Meyers' show.
Yeah.
And your search for clout.
Proprietary content.
Well, listen, it's not clout. It's, you know, a bigger audience. That's all.
Some people on their way up the ladder will reach down and try to pull up their friends, and they'll say, they'd say, Seth, I have a story for you that I told on a very funny podcast that everyone should check out.
Yes. And I'll let them tell it. They are.
Here's what you don't know is that I did say that they just edit these things out, you guys. They edit the unimportant little details out. So I'm sorry.
It's just, and our feud with Seth continues.
It does.
And you'll notice he's not here.
Mm.
No, he's not.
His absence is deafening.
Then you came on the show again to apologize. You told another story about turning your face inside out.
It
turned out that that was a story that you'd already told on Spont.
Well, we found that one on Spont, which that was very close to home.
Because I can't remember everything I say all the time to who I say it. I'm a person of the world. I talk to people.
And so we've decided that, knowing that obviously you can't remember anything you say or any promise you make, that instead of exclusivity, it is going to be about volume. So we're going to just have you tell 10, 15 stories
10 to 15
later on.
Very interesting stories. The other thing is, you do our show, and all anybody wants to fucking talk about after these episodes come out is Natalie's stories. And Natalie told that funny story. The David Caruso story was legendary. Oh, the face story. I think I heard it on Spont, and it was even longer there, but always down to listen to it again. And what happens is, it's not our show anymore. You make it your show. So Hayes and I, more than happy to take the back seat today. I will kick back. Let's hear some good, funny Natalie stories, and hopefully we'll sell them as NFTs at the end of the episode.
Oh, guys, I didn't come prepared with like a volume of stories.
Okay, we'll do something else first.
Coming
while
here
you
to
think.
Talk to you guys.
While you
we
think.
We have other stuff.
Okay,
we have lot of stuff to do.
And today. This may generate stories, actually.
Yeah. I'm sure it will. You guys are very inspiring.
We have a segment that we'd like to do with you. Special just for you. You're the first person to ever do it. And it's called Hollywood Handbook Calendar Girl.
Oh, boy.
What do you think this segment is, Natalie?
Oh, boy. You know, I think like a layman, someone who doesn't, you know, who isn't as good a buds with you guys as I am, might get the wrong idea. And they might think like, oh, you know, you want me to pose for a 12-month calendar, right?
Wrong ideas.
Sure. I don't think it's that. I know you guys to be, you know, respectful men.
Yeah.
That is the gardener who just arrived at my house at 5:23 p.m.
for
no
gardener.
Reason, specifically to garden while I was doing this podcast. So excuse.
Gotta weed whack the succulents.
I mean, here's a story. You know,
fire up the weed whacker, and those succulents are toast.
And that is not what we wanted to do. The 12-month calendar thing. Kevin did pitch a page a day calendar shoot, which I think is
just the work, the labor involved, and
that's
he wanted it to be.
That's too much.
He wanted it to be you. Full fire person gear and posing by the truck, going down the pole at the station, showing us. It's not a mess hall, right? It's just a kitchen. But at any rate, he wanted it to be like a firehouse thing.
Though, but yeah.
Yeah.
I would do like a 365 calendar if it was like a flip book thing, because then the photo session would be really fast, you know?
Okay.
Then it would just be click, 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 and then you'd be out of there. So
just
I guess to answer your question, what do I think that the Hollywood Handbook calendar girl is? I truly don't know. I don't know what it could be. I would love
Well, to honor you, actually, you gave us the idea for this segment. It was inspired entirely by you. You sent an email that got our wheels turning at one point. And Kevin, do you happen to have that with you?
Oh, no.
Yes. Okay, I'm just going to read it. I said April 2nd of this year. Hi, Natalie. I hope you're doing well. Sean and Hayes would love to have you back on Hollywood Handbook. Are you free this upcoming Wednesday or Thursday at 1? Or Thursday/Friday the following week, parentheses, the 15th and 16th at 1. I can get some more dates if those don't work. Then a week later, April 9th. Hi, Natalie. Just following up to see if Friday, April 23rd at 1 would work for you.
Notice how Kevin gives himself this very dashing voice in all his emails.
Hey, Natalie.
Doesn't use his real voice.
Hey.
And then Natalie responded Friday, April 9th. Hi, Kevin. Nice to hear from you. I'm totally slammed this whole month. I'll be a little freer come May, if that works for you guys.
So we just, let's get a look at April, you know. I think it'll be interesting. You know, that's the whole purpose of this podcast, right? Is to provide some transparency. I mean, as much as it is funny cum stories, there's also, I think, people get a real benefit and an education about the life of a Hollywood mover, shaker, producer, director, actor, right? And so maybe day by day, we could look at April. And for the future, too, we could see if we can actually carve out a moment where we could have squeezed in a record.
Right. So are you saying you want me to look through my calendar and tell you what it is I was so slammed with?
You're the calendar girl. You're the official calendar girl.
I see. Okay, I can explain this to you very easily. So, like you said, for us movers and shakers, the thing is that we're pretty much always slammed. And sometimes people say that just as an excuse to like not hang out with people. You know,
I hate that.
I'm so busy.
I'm slammed.
Right. That wasn't me. As you noted, that wasn't me. I responded very kindly to Kevin and I gave him some alternate dates. Sure, they were a month later, but I knew when I would be freer, as he said. So in the month
And here
of
you April, are.
Yeah, here I am. Mm-hmm. And we're in May.
She really is a calendar girl.
I am. The movie that comes
she
out
knows
tomorrow.
Exactly what month.
The movie that comes out tomorrow that you talked about. It's called Plan B. It's a movie I directed. And I was finishing the post on that, which meant
it's a movie,
that I was...
Sorry, so for people who don't know, this is a movie about Brad Pitt starting his production company.
It's not. It's not that at all.
I think it's pronounced Plamb.
Right, that's... Brad Pitt's production company is pronounced Plamb. And then this movie is Plan B, which is about, you know, the birth... emergency
the space,
birth control.
The space.
Okay.
It's an R-rated teen comedy out on Hulu tomorrow. You're going to love it.
Can I say a real issue I have with this movie?
Oh,
which is,
oh God, please. Yeah.
That I've been seeing, you know, people asking questions online. People asking, like, what are the chances of Plan B failing? And
who's asked that? Who?
I think like
it's a lot of Yahoo Answers users.
Yeah.
Don't mean the movie failing. You mean the pill.
Well, people are responding
0%. Yes.
And so that is...
It's
like,
misinforming.
They mean the
movie. That's causing real issues.
Yeah,
it could become a health crisis, actually, because if people believe there's a 0% chance of Plan B failing, and they confuse your movie with the medication.
You have to say Plan B the movie, I guess, is the thing. I mean, you know, hashtag-wise...
No, don't. I mean, have some, like, ambition. Say, change it to Plan B... The whatever, you know, the whatever it is.
I'm not saying I'm going to change the title. I'm just saying when you talk about it, you got to change it, you know.
Okay.
As a thing. So anyway, I was finishing that movie. I was editing and I was doing all the thing.
You're in post?
I was post on the movie. I was finishing the edit when Kevin sent me that, which was very, very tight, insane schedule because the movie comes out tomorrow. So finishing the edit in April is very, very tight schedule.
Okay, April 1st was a Thursday. Walk us through it.
April 1st, as you know, of course, April Fool's.
Lover of comedy such as yourself. Yes,
I feel like
you're booked.
Right. I remember something bad happening around that day socially, culturally in the world, and nobody felt much like April fooling anybody.
Okay.
Which, as you know, because I'm a comedy person, much to my dismay.
And my sort of my take is that's when people need me the most.
Let's see. Yeah. I'm gonna open my calendar and see what I was doing April 1st.
Okay, that's kind of when I need to step up.
We're gonna go through just the Thursdays and Fridays, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, ideally. So on my calendar, I have, look at this, April Fool's Day and Gardner. So it would have been the same problem.
Oh, and he came back.
And
this is a bit of an apology
by him. Know, all day editing on that day. Yeah. Mm.
God, killing your darlings. That was what did you cut that day? Like, did you lose a moment that you loved?
You know, I didn't. Very honestly, I didn't lose a single moment that I loved dearly in this movie. Mm. I'm very happy about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nursing your darlings.
Nurse.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Feed your darlings.
Do you think that Calendar Girl is going to be like a popular segment on your show? Because
this moving
feels
forward,
a little drudgy and like, you know, just like.
Ugh. We're only one day in, you know. I mean, do you want to talk about some of the April Fool's Day pranks that you had to
save for next year?
I know if you let me finish the question, I was asking which ones you didn't do that you had planned on prior to the big social problems that happened.
I don't remember. You know, I'm a wing it kind of pranker, so I come up with, you know, pranks on the fly, and so I didn't pre-plan anything.
That's not good pranks.
You don't know. You've never been pranked by me, or maybe this is one long prank.
Pranks on the fly.
Yeah, me and Clooney, we do this thing together. We prank on the fly. It's our way of, you know, letting loose in this business. And
You think if Ashton and Dax had walked into MTV and said, hey, we're going to do Punk'd and we'll just figure it out as we go, that we would have some of the iconic mean moments that we have seared into the collective pop culture memory?
No.
Timberlake crying.
There were some really mean moments on that show. I remember one of the meanest ones I can think of. I think it was Jesse Metcalf, I want to say. Who they were told him he was auditioning for like a big superhero role, and then they put him in this suit with like all these like motion capture balls on it, and they made him writhe around on the floor and act insane, and then they were like, you're pranked.
Yeah, you're not in the movie.
So horrible.
The industry related ones I also remember being unusually cruel. One that I believe I'm remembering this correctly is they brought Jennifer Love Hewitt in to meet with a writer who was like, you're going to be the star of this movie. And I think it was a little bit like her movie stardom was fading and she was about to transition into TV. And they start pitching this movie and the whole idea is like, it's the worst movie you've ever heard. But she the whole time is going like, okay, that could be cool. And then like, she just is nice the whole time. And she walks in, they go, just kidding. There's no movie. That movie would be terrible. And she's like, oh, all right. It's like,
it's so cruel. It's so awful.
Yeah, that one was pretty bad.
Ugh. I think about Jesse Metcalf. The reason I know it's him, I don't know. No diss to Jesse Metcalf. I don't know anything else he's done except for this episode of that. But the reason I know his name and it because it's seared in my brain is every weird audition I've ever had to do, I think about him. I'm like, oh no, what if this is a prank?
Am I getting and Jesse Metcalf?
Someone's gonna put this on YouTube. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he was John Tucker Must Die.
Yeah, John Tucker Must Die.
Right. I never saw that movie, but I remember it. Yes. Yeah. He was John Tucker in that movie, I'm guessing.
He may have canoodled with one of the Desperate Housewives. Am I misremembering?
No, you are not, my friend.
I think that's what I vaguely knew.
Points with to you, good Elaine. Sir.
Yes.
And a tip of that to you, good sir, for winning the internet this day.
And to you as well.
Natalie.
Reddit gold for you, my friend.
Yes.
Did you think of any story?
Not yet. I'm sorry. You guys have
no story. The calendar didn't inspire any.
I want to be present while I'm talking to you.
Well, you just mentioned some awkward auditions where you thought you may have been getting Jesse Metcalf. Can I get some of the inside details from one of these?
Does it matter that I've said it before?
Where?
I don't remember. You guys, you just have to think of more original questions.
Bigger,
because
smaller,
people
or
have
the
asked
same.
Me, what's your worst audition? You know, and then I have a story for it. So you just have to think of more unusual questions is all. But it is a good story if you
just
want to hear it.
Just do it.
Again, it's not exclusivity it. Because you're taking this stuff out all over town, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
It is volume. We need to
okay,
get
all right, all right, all right. Ready?
On the mm-hmm. books, yes.
Are you guys going to interrupt me a bunch or just a little?
I have some pre-planned bits.
Okay, okay.
No matter what the great, what great. The story
I'm going to be quiet. I have one huge interruption, but it will stop you from finishing the story okay. entirely.
Okay, great. All right. So early on in my career, this is 100% true. 100% true. I'm not even kidding. Mm. Early on in my acting career, I was sent an audition to play a the character name was Prostitute Number Two. And I think I had one line, which was maybe like, ow, because she gets killed. And that's okay. all it was, right? And so it was like at 8 a.m.
Ow, my life.
Ow.
Yeah.
Ow, I'm dead.
Yeah. So it was like at 8 a.m. and it was in Beverly Hills and I was dressed accordingly at 8 a.m. and I had mm-hmm. to park very far. And so I was dressed for the part and I walked all the way to this audition. And I waited forever, and then I got in.
Is that normal?
What? Which part?
Did you? I mean, like, you know, if they wanted you to come and read the Krampus or something, you dress all the way up like the Krampus?
You have to become the Krampus?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if okay. you want the part, you got to go for it, right? You can't
all right.
look like a school marm when you're auditioning for a hooker.
When you say you're dressed for the part, and I see Kevin's wheels turning, he's picturing like, oh, yeah, big red helmet. Fireproof flak jacket. He's just picturing you getting all your gear, axe over the shoulder and an extinguisher.
For the part of a prostitute?
Mm-hmm. To Kevin, that is...
Oh, for Kevin, yeah, is a...
That's what it
sexuality.
Is.
Kevin, you yeah. know, I also have a thing for firefighters. I'm with you.
Oh, hell yeah.
Kevin
thinks when the emergency vehicles are coming that the police car is chasing the fire truck for prostitution,
and that siren the police car has going is sort of like an ah-woo-ga, like yeah. just like the like tongue rolling out thing. Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, that's what he believes is happening. He told me that King of Staten Island is the sexiest movie he's ever seen.
Oh man.
Yeah,
which part, which who is like Buscemi, of course, but
Bill Burr,
the Bush,
the Mars Attacks tattoo.
All the bees.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Plan B.
Thank you.
I have a quick question. Was the reaction the first time you told the story, are people laughing? Are they like, oh? Are they cheering? Like, I just don't want
to
be...
Yeah, what am I supposed to be doing with my
I don't
want
to do something inappropriate.
No, you can, you know, do what you feel, Kevin. I'm not here to tell you how to react or how to exist.
Kevin, during a lot of stories, will go, yes.
If that's what Kevin wants to do, that's what Kevin wants to do.
Okay, Kevin, let her rip.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so you follow me, right? I'm walking like dressed like a hooker down, I don't know, Beverly Boulevard in Beverly Hills. And
bro.
I go up to the space, they make me wait, and then I finally get let in. And
I hate
like,
this.
So Kevin's the one interrupting, not you guys. This is a surprise.
Yeah.
I'm just listening respectfully, but my big interruption is still...
I can't wait for your big interruption,
Sean. He doesn't usually boo.
I can't wait.
Go ahead.
I know it's not going to be, but when you say it, I'm going to have a big interruption for you, it sounds like it's going to be like poop or a fart or something.
Well, I appreciate you not thinking that it's going to be that.
Right, because you're a gentleman. Okay, so I'm in the waiting room, and they bring me in. And
see the Guy Ritchie movie, The Gentleman?
I didn't see that. No,
that's
is that
based
your big
on
interruption?
Some of my stuff. No. You just made me think of it.
Oh.
Oh, you got a movie coming out. I had a movie come out last year. Did a nice little piece of business, The Gentleman. It's about me.
It was based on you.
Yeah, some of the stuff that I get up to.
Okay, so I'm in the room and I'm like, should I say my line like now or later? She's like, no lines. The lines got cut. So just whenever you're ready, throw yourself against the wall and pretend you got hit by a truck and then slide down the wall and die. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I slammed myself against the wall in very tall heels, stripper heels. And then slid down. And as I was sliding down, I was like, you know, dying. So I was making some like, I was like, oh, and she was like, no lines.
No lines.
I was like, okay. So I died and I was down there on the floor and I can hear the camera zooming in on me. And I was like, we done? And she goes, yeah. Okay. So now just, do you dance? Can you just dance a little salsa? And I was like, right now? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, but there's no music. And she's like, uh-huh. And so then I got up and I danced salsa to no music. And then she's like, thanks. And then I left. I walked all the way back to my car, and because I was waiting for so long, I had a ticket, and then I didn't get the part.
You shouldn't have danced salsa for that long.
I didn't get the part.
So I forgot to do my interruption.
Well, you can do it now. Do you want me to just keep talking and then you can... Here, go ahead. I'll know it's not real. I'm talking. I'm coming on you. Just say anything that you want.
I was there.
Okay, I'm still talking. I'm coming on you.
Hey, that was me. I was there.
Oh.
I think I changed my mind about doing a big interruption.
Okay.
Hey gang, looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had a subscription. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like, they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, to just like do the math, I had 5 million each would cost $100. saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/the boys. That's rocketmoney.com/the boys, rocketmoney.com/the boys.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hollywood Handbook.
That's good. This is a really good start.
This
for stories, right? That's a good story. I told
yes,
you.
Yeah. For the 18 even crazier stories.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That we're doing today.
Oh, Calendar Girl and 18 crazier stories. Those are the two.
We did auditions. We've dabbled in set life before. Yep. You've been on some very funny sets with some notorious pranksters. Anything from Chris Pratt.
Any improvisations that didn't make the final cut. Some real goofs that just like, did you ever break on camera?
Chris Pratt, I mean, Mike Mitchell told a story on here the other day where he said Chris Pratt was mean to him when he announced as a total unknown on this set. So when no one is like paying attention to her,
no one was asking, walked into the room and just like called all the attention to him.
And said that he was going to get a Doritos Locos Tacos later. And Chris Pratt said, cool, man.
Yeah.
Which Mitch...
apparently Mitch has taken as like this huge insult
offense
to him.
Yeah.
I believe what he's leaving out, because I was there that day, is that Chris was mid-sentence. It was telling a really sad story about something that happened to a friend of his. And Mitch sort of shoved him in the chest and went like, I'm getting a Doritos Locos Taco later. So that is some context that's missing. But like, did Pratt ever do something like that with you that, you know, felt pretty rude?
Is anything at all, anything he ever said, we've learned that we can interpret.
We can
like,
get some burn off.
I'll say. I know you guys are trying to get volume here, so micro story. Love a Doritos Locos Taco. They're delicious. I get the vegetarian kind. So great. That's there. You go. Micro story.
Not the part of the story I would want to.
I'm just letting you know. And the answer, unfortunately, is no. Chris Pratt was always really, really, really nice to me. And
do something that we can make it sound like it was?
Yeah. Anything he ever said, any conversation you ever had, even once.
I mean, I think, you know, he like you can misconstrue any kind of like, how are you today? You know, like you can it can. Be
he said, oh, did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
He did many times. He many times was he like, how are you?
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
How are you today? It's like, you tell me, pal. You obviously have an issue.
Yeah.
Right.
But I wonder if it was something in your performance that was making him be like,
who knows?
No.
Maybe.
So he's like, trying to cut
how
you
are
down.
You?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like
is
like,
something
exactly,
going
like,
on with
I'm,
you?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm not well. Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks. Anything else with the taco, I guess, since that seems to be what you have more. That seemed to resonate with you more. Is there something?
I just had something to pull
there.
From there. You know, I get it. I get a Doritos Locos Tacos Supreme, which just means that I think it just means that there's sour cream in it.
Mm-hmm. Supreme.
It should be. Should be Supreme. Don't you hate it when people spell cream creme?
Creme, yeah.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, that's only for creme.
Notorious creme fraiche.
Mm-hmm. But no, but also I see it in like...
Because they're spelling fresh, F-R-A-I-C-H-E as well.
Yeah.
Right, that's so crazy.
at that point, I'm just like, what are we doing?
It's another language, right? But I got these Oreo, you know, not Oreos things, and it said like sandwich cremes, and it's like, no. So that's story number four for you.
How was Jared Leto?
Well, oh yeah, how was he?
Oh boy.
Oh no.
And we seem to have stumbled upon a possible proprietary story.
Kevin, just like for all his problems that he creates in my life, he is like kind
he's
of
a problem solver.
He's a dowsing rod.
He's a sniffer. His sniffer ain't broke, man. He's able to kind of pick out your weak spots.
I want to tell you this so bad, but I don't think I can.
Just leave out. Just tell a story about an anonymous person.
Yeah, so we'll
and
cut
just
out
leave
the name.
Leave out who it's about.
No. No, I don't think I can. Well, I probably can. Let me think. Let me think for a second. Let me just weigh the options of like...
How's this? Can you tell us, because we're kind of getting nothing with these stories you told, and you're sort of just talking about food, which is sort of like a Mike Mitchell thing.
Hey, I'm not the interviewer. It's not my fault.
Thankfully, I know that. And I am going to guide you now with a question that is going to get us somewhere. Can you tell us a fake story about a fake actor that could have happened on set but didn't? And then we can in turn pretend or apply meaning to that story so that we act like we got something out of you that we can actually use for the show.
You just make me do all the work is the thing.
Like, believe me, I know.
I we
had to set up a whole Patreon. We had to put our bank account in it.
Yeah, I don't get paid for any of this. And you guys are just making me do all the work.
We offered TaskRabbit discounts.
But then the poor TaskRabbits don't get paid.
Well, it's me, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm
Kevin's
fine
the only
with
one
that.
On there.
I'm okay
still.
With that.
Nobody else is using it.
No,
it's a dating
site. You know what? I will tell you the Jared Leto story, and I will tell it to you, and it is proprietary, although I reserve the right to tell it elsewhere if I fucking want to.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow. Did you just meow?
Wow.
No, this is our own Wilson wow we do when somebody really spills the
tea. Oh, I thought he
meowed. Wow.
So Kevin, I think, is asking about Jared Leto because I worked with him on this movie called The Little Things that came out earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And if you saw that movie, not only was I 75% of the things I did get cut from that movie, supposedly for time. But also, there's only one scene in which I interact with Mr. Leto, who famously is a method actor. Mm-hmm. And in this movie is playing somewhat of a psychopath. And he was not hanging out with the other actors. He wanted to walk through the set from the back, so I didn't see him beforehand, and then I had a scene with him face to face. He did not. He only said hello to me in his creepy psychopath voice once after we had started shooting already.
Did you say hi back?
No,
you didn't say anything weird.
I don't know that I was the weird one in that situation, but I just didn't understand how to be a human being that could retain my own self-respect if I played into somebody pretending to be
construct.
A psychopath with me when the cameras were off. Mm-hmm. I won't say he wasn't mean or anything. He was he was just very, very into his character. And I guess his character also is a character that never would say his lines, right? So then, like, he also decided not to say any of the scripted lines, which left me as the actor somewhat confused as to how to respond. But it all worked out. He's actually, I think, the best part of that movie, although I really enjoyed working with Rami as well. But he's very good in that movie. But yeah, that was an odd... And then he also got... he also left through the back. So I had an entire day and scene with him in which the only interaction was a A psychopath version of him smiling at me from behind a gate saying, hi. And I didn't quite know how to respond to that while, not hating myself later. So I think I just said nothing. I think I just stared and was like, what? And then and then that was that. So that's my Jared Leto story. I don't know him that well at all. That's the most I know him.
Because you've never seen him.
Well, I guess I don't know him. I only know
the psychopath.
Sparma, the character that's in this movie. Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, there's sort of like these terms like people will talk about an Irish goodbye and that this was the psycho voice hello.
And, correct.
And it's, you know, it's similar where you don't really get to interact. But what you did have said was nothing, which I think is commendable.
What I did have said was nothing? What
I did have said was nothing.
Nothing. Yes. Mm. Mr. Birbiglia would applaud that. He would be jealous. Mike, of course.
There's a plan B for, I mean, honestly, plan B for you is check out some of Birbiglia stuff.
Yeah.
Plan Birbiglia.
Yeah. That'll plan your whole weekend. Let me take this little story and try to help you, because that's part of what we do here as well. Now, there's not a person among us who didn't think franchise when they saw that film. And I have a feeling this will not be your last scene with Mr. Jared Leto in psycho voice mode.
Yeah.
So let's just run through some scenarios. Hayes and I will do psycho voice.
Okay.
And you can sort of respond to us and it'll feel, you know, more familiar and more easy and comfortable when you do show up on set the next time.
Right. So I'm not so taken aback by that. Yeah. Okay. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Is Sparma his first name, last name, is his middle name? And
Hayes,
his name
did you not watch the movie?
Or it's his middle name and his name is Chicken Sparma Drod.
Hayes, you didn't watch the movie? It had 3 Oscar winners in it.
Did they say that in the movie?
They said that all around the movie, not in the actual movie, but they definitely make it known in all of the promotion of the movie. And then my name is also there, but really tiny.
I had to turn it off because I thought it was going to be about the Bush song off that album, 16 Stone, that little thing.
I thought it was going to be about the Good Charlotte song.
So
you were disappointed.
Yeah.
What's your favorite? Hey, Sean, can I ask what your favorite song off of 16 Stone is?
You're going to make me pick?
I am. I want to know. I mean, I was a big Bush fan, too. Do you guys want to hear about the time I met Gavin Rossdale?
Now we got something good going.
He said hi the same way.
Hi. Hi. I mean, the easy answer is obviously Glycerine. I got into it through Everything Zen because that was like what got me like, who is this? I got to see this. But just because I'm such a big sports guy and probably the best sports song of all time is Machine Head.
Machine Head is a great song. Isn't it weird that they play that at stadiums now? It's very strange, but I do like that song.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Come Down.
Come Down's my favorite.
Boy, that's a thinker.
That.
You just sit down and stare at the speaker when that comes on. Just let it wash over you. This person's telling you something for real, for real.
Yeah. What's that? What was that like guy that sat in a chair and got blown away by sound in that ad for like speakers?
Yeah.
What was that ad for?
That's Dilbert. That's why his tie's like that.
Dilbert.
That's permanently stuck his tie like that.
I did miss
you guys. You met Gavin Rossdale?
Tell us about Gavin. I met Gavin Rossdale when I was, I want to say like 15. And I was
that's
very,
the time to meet him.
Very, very, very into Bush. And my friend went with me and insisted that we go really, really early. And it was in like West Palm Beach. I'm from Miami, so it was a few hours away from my house. And we got there and we pulled up to the thing and nobody was there. We pulled up to the tour bus. And the tour bus was there, and there was a crowd of people hanging around the tour bus, and I was like, these people just want to go inside. We shouldn't bother these people. We shouldn't, like, this is a weird way to meet someone. I felt very strange about it. And all these people were waiting around for them to get out of the tour bus. And I was like, I don't like this. I'm going to just hang out back here. And there was a back door to the tour bus and they all came out the back door and Gavin Rosdale saw me and I went, and he put his, you know, his finger over his mouth and went, shh, and then walked in the back way.
No one will ever believe you.
I know. And then I was like starstruck, very, very starstruck. And then I went back around to tell my friend and of course, as you said, no one believed me. And I was like, they're not here. It's okay. We can go. And so we left, we went and got some stuff.
Can I just say,
yeah,
he asked you not to tell anyone.
No, he said, be quiet right now. That's how I interpreted mm-hmm. it, which is what I did. No, I let them get inside safely. I let them get inside safely.
Even this now.
No, we did want you to tell stories.
We did want you to tell 10 to 15 stories.
Thank
we did
you.
Not want them to be a betrayal.
No. I think someone shushing you means do not make noise right now. It does not mean don't tell this story ever.
This is a secret forever.
Yeah.
I think your listeners.
Then that really was the only time you met Gavin because
it gets better.
You knew, okay.
It gets better, you guys. I'm in a Bush music video.
Wow.
I am. So then we went and got some snacks and came back and hung out because there was nothing else to do. And there was no mobile phones at the time. And then they actually came out and said hi to everybody. And Gavin Rosdale recognized me and went, hey, and weren't you back there? And I was like, yeah. And he talked to me for a little while. And I used to wear these little tiny thin rings on my thumb. And I gave him one. And we took a picture together, but I had a disposable camera. And my friend who was there said I was smiling too hard. So I corrected my smile. That picture can be found on my Instagram account. It's at Natalie Morales Loves. You can check it out if you'd like. My smile is terrible because I had just been told I was smiling too hard.
At Natalie Morales Loves, that's an edit, correct?
What do you mean?
That wasn't, of course, the original title for the Instagram.
Right. The original title was Natalie Morales Loves Free Stuff, but I felt that was you know, very materialistic, so I changed it. Because I do just love also. So then I gave him that ring and then I saw him wear it on TRL like 2 days later and I was really excited.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was stuck?
It was, you know, or he liked it. One or the other.
How far do I have to scroll down to see this?
I mean, you'll see it. It's a very young me.
I know, but like how long ago? Like
a couple years ago. I don't know. There's not that many things on my Instagram.
Yeah. A couple years ago.
You don't have to do it now. You could be a good host and just engage with me.
Hayes, I'm drowning over here. Man.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hayes found it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
You look really pissed.
Yeah. The smile is bad because I was told to correct
it. It's not a smile at all.
No,
it's really
bad.
Upset.
Yeah. I look mad. But he was very nice to me and I liked him very much.
Well, I guess that reminds me of a story that I don't know if I've ever told before. Maybe I have, where I went to see Bush in concert. Second live concert ever. First one was live. A little confusing.
You saw live?
I saw live, yes.
Okay.
Ed came out. No shirt. Did all the songs he wanted to do. Rode around on a wheelchair on stage for some reason. Don't know what that was about. But it was something to do. Anyway, I go to see Bush. I buy the shirt. Buy a long sleeve t-shirt. Leaving. Wear the shirt to 8th grade a couple times. No big deal. Not looking to get compliments, but letting people know, yeah, your boy went to a concert. Little later on, some people by the pencil sharpener talking about going to see the Fugees potentially. I say, oh, hey, I might be into that. Casey shoves me. Nice try, Bush boy.
You had declared your allegiance.
That's right.
Fugees aren't the band for you.
Bush boy.
Hey, I got a suggestion to rearrange a couple of the letters. That's the band you want to go see, the Goofies.
Natalie, you had something off of Bush boy?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Bush boy and Calendar Girl, but I you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like Bush Boy. I mean, I know that it probably really hurt you at the time, but I think it's something you can be proud of now.
Now, yes, very proud to have been called Bush Boy.
And by the way,
Casey, nice guy. Hope he's doing well.
Yeah, I don't. I hope he rots in hell.
He was trying to figure it out like everybody else. And later that year, when I got hit by a car, he told me that he thought about maybe giving me some free weed.
Oh. Casey making up for his mistakes.
Man, when I heard you got hit by that pickup truck, I thought maybe I'd bring by a little of the green stuff and ease the pain for you.
Hey, Sean, I don't know if you've talked about it on this podcast because I don't listen to it, but have you talked about the story of you getting hit by a car before? Because that seems like a good story, and maybe you can just, you know, fill one of my story slots with that.
You say so it's Natalie.
Your story.
And you kind of add like some like career-specific details.
And Natalie's driving the truck.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So it's you and Natalie in the story? Like
yeah,
that.
So it's like, maybe Natalie, I don't know if you know this. We met before.
Right. You were wearing that Bush shirt and I was driving that truck.
That's right. Yeah. So I had just grabbed a slice of pizza with my neighbor and I was walking across.
Hey, can Sean come out? I was wondering if Sean would like to go get
the
pizza.
Was his neighbor a very old man?
Hey, is Sean home?
Oh, hey, Mr. Davenport.
And here I am just moseying along in my truck.
Hey, Mr. Davenport. Oh, sure, I could go for some pizza. Hang All on, right. let me just pause the basketball diaries.
All right, my car's been taken away, so we're going to walk if that's okay.
All right. Well, we'll take the shortcut through the railroad tracks, and then we'll just jog across Route 10. No big deal. There's never any trucks on that street.
I'm really fast, so I'm going to be okay. I know that much.
I'm blasting the Fugees in my truck.
So you're driving your truck down the railroad tracks?
Sean, where am I driving my truck through?
I guess it's possible that you were trailing us the whole time.
I was trailing you. I was blasting the Fugees because I couldn't hear or see anything.
That's how loud the music was.
It's so loud, and you sing it so passionately, your eyes are closed while you're driving. And also, when you're driving on the railroad tracks, you don't really need to look. You know, you just feel your way through because it guides you.
Oh, yeah, the tracks. So then, so we get to the pizza. Oh, what are you having, Mr. Davenport? It's on me. I know you left your wallet at home again.
Oh, I'll just have just a handful of cheese for me, please.
Okay, so Mr. Davenport's going to have the usual, and I'll get a grape soda. And we finish eating, and it's like, hey, do you want to not take the railroad tracks home? Maybe we should go on the street where it's a little lighter.
Yeah, sure, let's go. I definitely what I care about is it being light, so let's.
I'm tired of driving on these railroad tracks. I'm going to make this turn and drive on the street now.
Doesn't that truck look familiar? Wasn't it behind us on the railroad tracks? I'm going to go see if they're lost.
With him, oh, no.
Hey, do you need any help?
I hope she doesn't.
I know the town pretty
kill
well.
Kill us hardly.
Telling me softly.
La 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 la.
Ow, 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 ow.
Oh, did I? What was that bump?
Just me.
So what happened to you, Sean? Did you break anything? Did anything happen? Did by any chance you break your face or anything like that?
I did, yeah.
Anything as interesting as that?
I broke the orbital bones around my eye.
Okay.
Sliced through my eyelid so I could close my eye and still see. Sliced through, my leg, damaged the growth plate of my left leg, then had a seizure and, had sort of kind of breathing brain activity.
But you're here, you made it, you're okay.
It's fine.
Okay, well,
it's
when you told that story, Sean said he was sorry that happened to you on your episode.
But he's fine.
But I made fun of you afterwards.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine.
Kevin says
better than fine. I got Natalie Morales on the podcast and her movie comes out tomorrow.
Kevin says you have to leave.
I do, you guys.
Let's play Calendar Girl. What is it? What do we got?
Oh, you want to know?
Yes.
It's actually very exciting.
May 24th.
The two stars of my movie are coming over to watch it for the first time. They have not seen it yet, and I'm very excited to show it to them.
How many times have you watched it?
It's too late for them to do anything about it now. It comes out tomorrow.
Right, yeah. I've watched it hundreds of times, but I think it's very good, and I'm very proud of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Hope I agree.
I hope you do, too. I think you will.
And
I hope you both do. I hope all the listeners do. I hope everybody does.
It's very
rated R, just so you know. Very rated R.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Is there any way that they can like buy stuff from the ads to like help for like, or to be like, I love this movie so much, I'm getting even more Hulu.
Yeah. You could get isn't there like an ad-free version of Hulu and a non-ad version of Hulu? Yeah, you could get that, I guess. I don't know, but I you could just watch it. I think that'd be fine. You could watch it and then like talk about it a lot about like how you think it's so great and all of
that.
Is there a hashtag for it?
I've been using hashtag Plan B movie because, as we discussed earlier, it can be confused with Plan B the pill. So Plan B movie.
Yeah.
Hashtag Plan B movie.
It kind of sounds like B movie.
Plan B movie, you know.
Yeah, but it kind of sounds like
No, because B movie has two E's after
B
the B.
B movie. Plan B from
outer
space.
It sounds like Plan B movie.
That's what I'd say.
Beam.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. So we agree. Bye.
Hollywood Handbook.
This week on the Patreon, Carl and Hassan discuss the Super Bowl shuffle. The boys have some fun talking to David Reese, and the flagrant ones are catching up with their friends Jake and Amir. Check out these bonus podcasts and videos of the full episodes at patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum Podcast.